Welcome, brave souls, to our scary stories. In the stillness of the night, when shadows dance and the world sleeps, we delve deep into tales that chill the bones and stir the soul. Dim the lights, pull your blanket a bit closer, and let the darkness wrap around you. Tonight, we unearth a story that has lingered in the whispers of a town named Lumeridge. Will you dare to listen? Lumeridge was not like other towns. Nestled between dense woods and rolling hills, it boasted cobbled streets that echoed with stories of centuries gone by. The town's crowning jewel was the ancient cathedral, rising majestically, stretching its stone fingers to touch the heavens. Moss and ivy clung to its walls, and time had weathered its facade, but it stood unyielding, watching over the town. Tourists thronged its entrance daily, marveling at the grandeur of its Gothic arches and intricate stained glass. They raised their cameras and clicked away, capturing memories of its splendor. However, the real fascination lay higher, the grotesque gargoyles perched upon the cathedral's towers. They seemed to glare down with eyes that held a knowing, mocking glint. Their stone wings folded, claws poised, expressions frozen between a snarl and a smirk. But while tourists laughed and posed with mock fears beneath these stony guardians, the locals knew better. At twilight, as the sky painted itself with hues of orange and pink, they would gather at local pubs, eyes darting warily towards the cathedral. In hushed voices, they'd speak of the Halloweens of yesteryears, when the town would wake up to empty homes and desolate streets, the only evidence of the night's horror being the cold wind carrying agonizing screams. Lydia stepped off the bus, the crisp autumn air brushing her cheeks. With auburn hair cascading down her shoulders and glasses perched on her nose, she looked every bit the young historian she was. Pulling her coat closer against the chill, she gazed at the cathedral. It was magnificent, just as the photographs and articles had promised. She had come to Lumeridge with a purpose, to delve deep into the cathedral's history, to uncover its secrets. You're here for the cathedral, aren't you? An old man, with wrinkles etched deep into his face and a cane for support, had approached her. Yes, Lydia replied, surprised. I'm here to study it. I've heard so much about its architecture. The old man chuckled, a sound that seemed to carry more weight than mirth. It's not the architecture you should be wary of, dearie. It's those cursed statues up there, he whispered, pointing upwards. The gargoyles stared back, their stone faces inscrutable. Lydia laughed lightly. You mean the legends. I've heard them, but they're just stories, right? He leaned closer, his voice dropping lower. Every story, my dear, is born from a seed of truth. Stay away when the moon is full. Halloween's not far. With that cryptic warning, he shuffled away, leaving Lydia with a chill that had little to do with the autumn breeze. She watched him disappear into a narrow alley, his words swirling in her mind. Superstitions, she told herself, shaking her head. Just old tales. But as she made her way towards her new home, she couldn't help but cast another glance at the cathedral, at the gargoyles looming overhead. The setting sun cast long, eerie shadows, and for a fleeting moment, she thought she saw a flicker of movement, a flutter of stone wings. Shivering, she hurried on, the legends of Lumeridge whispering in her ears. The next day, under a sky masked by gray clouds, Lydia made her way to the cathedral. The stone structure seemed even more imposing up close. She could hear the soft murmurs of tourists outside, but the moment she stepped into the library, silence enveloped her. Rows upon rows of ancient books, manuscripts, and scrolls filled the dimly lit room, each holding secrets of ages past. The scent of old paper and leather bindings wafted through the air as Lydia began her research. Hours seemed to slip by as she moved from one dusty tome to the next, her fingers brushing lightly over the yellowed pages. But it wasn't until she reached a secluded corner, obscured by tall bookshelves, that she found something truly intriguing. Tucked away beneath a pile of old church records was a worn leather-bound journal, its cover cracked with age. Gold lettering, now faded, read, The Chronicles of Father Alistair. Intrigued, Lydia opened it, her fingers tracing the shaky handwriting. The journal detailed the daily life of Father Alistair, a priest who had served the cathedral centuries ago. As she read, Lydia was drawn into tales of community, faith, and simple joys. But the tone changed drastically as she neared the center pages. October 27, 1623, the entry began. The town is plagued by dark spirits. The nights echo with their malevolent laughter, the days marred by their shadows. In our desperation, we sought to contain them. Lydia's heart raced as she read on. Father Alistair described a harrowing ritual, one that would trap the spirits where they could do no harm. The gargoyles, she thought with a shiver, remembering the old man's warning. The spirits, drawn to the statues by an incantation, became imprisoned within the stone guardians. But the cost was high. Lydia's eyes widened in horror as she read of the sacrifices made, livestock, crops, and even a willing human soul, to ensure the spirits' binding. We have succeeded, the next entry read, but at a terrible price. The gargoyles now watch over Lumeridge, protectors and jailers both. But we must never forget, should they be awakened, the spirits will seek revenge for their imprisonment. The town must remain vigilant, especially when the night is darkest and the moon shines brightest. Lydia slowly closed the journal, her hands trembling slightly. The room, which had felt merely quiet before, now seemed oppressive. A weight of centuries of secrets pressed down on her. The hushed legends, the wary glances of townsfolk, the cryptic warnings, all seemed to converge, painting a picture Lydia wished she could disbelieve. She carefully placed the journal back in its hiding spot and left the library, her steps quickening as she sought the light of day. As she emerged into the open, she couldn't help but lift her gaze to where the gargoyles sat, silent and watchful. Were the tales merely superstitions, as she had first believed? Or was there a sinister truth to the whispered legends of Lumeridge? The days leading up to Halloween in Lumeridge were tinged with both excitement and caution. Children spoke of costumes and candy, while their parents exchanged wary glances, whispering about the safety of nighttime festivities. The town seemed split between anticipation and dread. It was on the night of October 30th, when the wind carried a chill and leaves rustled in restless anticipation, that a group of teens decided to challenge the legends of their town. Armed with the bravado that only youth can grant and fueled by tales of the cathedral's haunted past, they sought to mock the legends and make them their own. The cathedral's great doors creaked as they sneaked inside, their flashlight beams dancing over the pews and illuminating the dark corners of the sanctuary. Jake, the ringleader, grinned with mischief as he pulled out a worn-out book, a collection of rituals and chants he had found in his grandmother's attic. "All right," he whispered, glancing around at his friends, Lucy, Tom, and Mia. "Let's see if there's any truth to these old tales." Beneath the grand stained glass windows depicting serene saints, the group gathered at the altar. With candles lit and arranged in a crude circle, Jake began to read from the book, his voice taking on a theatrical tone. The others, trying to stifle their giggles, played along, miming exaggerated gestures and making spooky sounds. Outside, Lydia was on one of her evening walks, attempting to shake off the unease that the journal's revelation had stirred within her. The faint glow from the cathedral windows caught her attention. Drawing closer, she heard the teens' voices, their playful chants echoing in the vastness of the cathedral. Rushing inside, Lydia's eyes widened in disbelief and horror at the scene before her. "What are you doing?" she exclaimed, dousing the candles with a sweep of her arm. "Do you have any idea of the dangers you're toying with?" Lucy rolled her eyes. "Relax, it's just a bit of fun. The legends are just stories, aren't they?" Lydia's gaze was stern. "Legends or not, this is a sacred place. You should show respect." Chastened, the group muttered apologies, and with a final, lingering glance at the altar, they hurried out, leaving Lydia alone in the vastness of the cathedral. The silence was almost deafening, broken only by the soft flicker of the remaining candles. But as Lydia made her way to the exit, she paused, feeling a cold breeze brush past her. She shivered, looking around, but saw nothing amiss. Yet, as she stepped outside, locking the cathedral doors behind her, an inexplicable sense of dread settled in her heart. The teens might have left, but the atmosphere within the cathedral felt changed, altered. It was as if something had been awakened or, perhaps, disturbed. And with Halloween just a day away, Lydia couldn't help but fear what might come next. Halloween night in Lumeridge was always an event, a beautiful contradiction of laughter and whispers, bright costumes and lurking shadows. Streets were lined with carved pumpkins, their faces both comical and grotesque, casting flickering orange glows. Children roamed in excited packs, their voices a blend of glee and eerie song as they moved from door to door. Lydia, however, was not among the celebrants. Her thoughts kept returning to the previous night, to the desecration at the cathedral, and the chill that had gripped her as she'd left. It was this unease that drew her gaze upwards to the cathedral spires as she walked the town's cobblestone streets. She froze. One of the gargoyles, a particularly grotesque creature with outspread wings and a snarling visage, was conspicuously absent from its usual spot. As realization dawned, a scream, piercing and filled with raw terror, rent the night. The merriment ceased instantly. Children clutched their parents, eyes wide with fear. Residents peeked from their homes, faces pale. Lydia raced towards the source of the scream, her heart pounding. Rounding a corner, she nearly collided with Officer Mason, the local policeman who'd been on patrol. "What was that?" he gasped, eyes scanning the vicinity. Together, they followed the echo of the scream to a narrow alley. There, sprawled on the ground, was Jake, the ringleader of the teens from the previous night. His eyes were open, but they held a vacant, distant look, as if staring at something no one else could see. His skin was ashen, and there was an eerie stillness about him, as though every ounce of life had been siphoned away. Mason knelt beside the boy, checking for a pulse. His face grim, he shook his head. "He's gone," he murmured, his voice filled with disbelief. "But how? There's no wound, no sign of struggle." Lydia's mind raced. A missing gargoyle, the journal's ominous warnings, and now this. The pieces began to fit together in a terrifying mosaic. "We need to warn the others," she whispered, her voice shaking. "Whatever did this might still be out there." Mason nodded, taking a deep breath to steady himself. "You're right. We need to get everyone inside, lock the doors. And we need to find out what happened here." As they left the alley, the weight of what had transpired pressed heavily on Lydia's shoulders. The legends of Lumeridge, dismissed by so many as mere tales, had shown their deadly truth. The gargoyle's night had truly begun. The urgency in Lydia and Mason's steps echoed on the cobblestone streets as they raced through Lumeridge. Their mission was clear: alert the townsfolk and get them to safety. "Stay indoors," Mason shouted, his usually calm demeanor replaced with frantic determination. "Lock your doors and windows. Stay away from the cathedral." Many townsfolk looked at him in confusion, their Halloween festivities abruptly halted. Yet the serious look in Mason's eyes, coupled with Lydia's nods of agreement, convinced them to heed the warning. However, the gargoyles weren't idle. Shadowy figures flitted between rooftops, their grotesque forms briefly illuminated by the moonlight or the occasional street lamp. A chilling wind seemed to accompany their movements, and the temperature dropped noticeably. As Lydia and Mason neared the town square, they witnessed a harrowing scene. Two gargoyles descended upon a pair of unsuspecting revelers. Before they could react, the gargoyles were upon them, their stone-like hands cold and unyielding. The revelers' screams were soon silenced, and as the gargoyles retreated, they left behind two lifeless forms. Horrified, Lydia whispered, "We're too late for them. But we have to protect the rest." With every passing moment, it became clear that with each soul consumed, the gargoyles began to change. Their once stone exteriors now had an almost flesh-like quality. Their movements, initially rigid and awkward, became more fluid and swift. Their eyes, once dull and lifeless, now glinted with malevolent intelligence. Mason, his face pale but determined, turned to Lydia. "We need a plan. These creatures, as long as they're free, no one's safe." Lydia nodded, thinking furiously. "The journal. It mentioned rituals to imprison the spirits. We need to get to the cathedral's library. There might be a way to reverse this." The two set off, making their way through the winding streets, always vigilant for the next gargoyle attack. The once joyful town of Lumeridge now echoed with terror, its streets bathed in an eerie silence broken only by the distant cries of the gargoyle's next victims. Yet, amidst the chaos, a spark of hope ignited within Lydia and Mason. Together, they would face the unearthly terror and strive to return Lumeridge to the peaceful town it once was. But the night was far from over, and the true extent of the gargoyle's power was yet to be revealed. The library of the cathedral was a realm of dusty silence and faded memories, a place where time seemed to stand still and the weight of history pressed close. Lydia, with frantic determination, pored over the aged pages of the journal, her fingers dancing over the handwritten script, tracing line after line of forgotten lore. "The spirits that dwell within these stone guardians," she read aloud, "can only be subdued by the ritual of the obsidian dagger, a tool forged in the era of the first bishop." Mason, his brow furrowed, questioned, "An obsidian dagger? I've never heard of such a thing." "It's said to have been made from the heart of a fallen star," Lydia whispered, excitement and trepidation evident in her voice. "And it's believed to be buried with the cathedral's first bishop, deep within the catacombs." Mason's eyes widened. The catacombs. That's a labyrinthine maze of tombs and passages. Are you sure? Lydia nodded, pointing to an intricate illustration in the journal. It depicted the dagger, its blade a deep, lustrous black, with a hilt adorned with symbols of old. Below it, a simple phrase was inscribed, "In darkness it rests, awaiting the light to bind the night." "We don't have a choice," Lydia stated, determination burning in her eyes. "If this dagger can help us stop the gargoyles, then we need to retrieve it." With lanterns in hand, the duo descended into the depths of the cathedral, where the entrance to the catacombs awaited. The air grew colder, the scent of moss and aged stone growing stronger as they ventured further down the stone steps. The catacombs were a sprawling network of hallways and burial chambers, each one more haunting than the last. Cryptic inscriptions covered the walls, and the echoing drip of water sounded like whispered secrets. Guided only by the flickering light of their lanterns and the clues from the journal, Lydia and Mason navigated the eerie passages, the weight of centuries pressing in on them. They encountered several tombs of bishops, but it was only when they reached the oldest section of the catacombs that Lydia felt a surge of hope. There, in an alcove adorned with ancient carvings, lay a stone sarcophagus. The seal of the first bishop was engraved on its surface, and beneath it, a simple inscription, "Guardian of the Blade." Mason, sensing the gravity of the moment, gently lifted the heavy lid. Inside, alongside the skeletal remains of the bishop, was a sheathed dagger, its hilt just visible in the dim light. Lydia carefully took the obsidian dagger, its weight significant in her hands. "This is our chance," she whispered, looking at Mason with newfound hope. "With this, we can end the nightmare." As they retraced their steps to the surface, the urgency of their mission pulsed with every heartbeat. The night still loomed, and the gargoyles' reign of terror raged on, but now, Lumerich had a fighting chance. The entrance to the catacombs lay hidden in the shadowy recesses of the cathedral, a foreboding archway leading into the abyss. Lydia and Mason stood at the precipice, the weight of their mission heavy on their shoulders. As they descended, the world above seemed to fade away, replaced by a cold, stifling atmosphere that clung to them like a second skin. The dim light from their lanterns cast eerie shadows on the walls, each flicker revealing more of the catacombs' unsettling artwork, frescoes depicting scenes of sorrow, anguish, and despair. It didn't take long for the labyrinthine passageways to play tricks on their minds. Mason felt a cold touch on his shoulder and spun around to see. Nothing. Lydia swore she heard whispers, faint and unintelligible, coming from just beyond the reach of their light. But the true test of their resolve came when the catacombs began to manifest their deepest fears. Lydia's lantern illuminated a room that shouldn't have existed, her childhood home. She saw herself as a little girl, tears streaming down her face, clutching a shattered porcelain doll. A memory she had buried deep of a day when she felt utterly alone, now vividly replayed before her eyes. "Mason," she called out, her voice trembling. "Where are you?" Mason, meanwhile, was reliving a scene from a dark chapter in his life. He was back at the police academy, standing before a panel of stern-faced superiors. The weight of a mistake he made, a lapse in judgment that cost a fellow cadet his life, pressed down on him. The voices of accusation, the looks of disdain, it all came rushing back. The catacombs seemed to be testing them, forcing them to confront the traumas and regrets they had locked away. Yet, amidst the trials of the mind, they found solace in each other's voices, guiding one another through the darkness. Lydia's gentle reassurance anchored Mason, reminding him of the man he had become, not the mistakes of his past. Mason's unwavering belief in Lydia gave her the strength to push past her fears and insecurities. When they finally reunited, they found themselves in a chamber deep within the catacombs. In the center stood an ornate pedestal, atop which lay the obsidian dagger, shimmering with an otherworldly glow. "It's real," Lydia whispered, her voice filled with awe. Mason nodded, his eyes never leaving the dagger. "And now, we have a chance." They took a moment to regain their composure, their trials within the catacombs serving as a harsh reminder of the challenges still ahead. With the dagger in their possession, they had the means to confront the gargoyles. But first, they needed to face and overcome the shadows of their own pasts. Only then could they hope to save Lumerich. Inside the cathedral, Lydia carefully unfolded the ancient pages of the priest's journal. The dust of ages whispered off the paper, and the inked words, although faded, laid out the ritual in meticulous detail. As the implications of the ritual became clear, a heavy silence settled between Lydia and Mason. To willingly offer one soul, Mason murmured, struggling to grasp the enormity of the sacrifice required. It's too high a price for any of us. Lydia nodded, her fingers trembling as they traced the ancient words. There must be another way. We can't ask anyone to make such a sacrifice. The weight of their discovery was disrupted by a soft, measured voice. Perhaps I can help. Oath turned to see an elderly woman, her back hunched with age but her eyes sharp and alert, standing in the doorway. Who are you? Lydia inquired, her guard up. I am Agatha, the woman replied, her voice as fragile as the gossamer threads of a spider's web. My family has lived in Lumeridge for generations. The darkness that now plagues our town is a result of my ancestors' folly. Lydia and Mason exchanged glances. You know about the rituals? Mason asked. Agatha nodded slowly. I grew up with the stories, the whispered legends. And over the years, I've come to learn the truth. The gargoyles, their hunger for souls, all of it traces back to a dark pact made by my forebears. Lydia's eyes widened in realization. You want to atone for their sins. A sad smile played on Agatha's lips. I've lived a full life, seen the joys and sorrows of many a season. If my soul can bring an end to this curse, then it's a price I'm willing to pay. Mason looked at the elderly woman, admiration evident in his eyes. Are you certain, Agatha? Once done, there's no coming back. Agatha's gaze was unwavering. Every night, I dream of the people we've lost, the lives that have been shattered. This is my chance to make things right. The cathedral's vastness seemed to close in around them as they prepared for the ritual. Candles were lit, casting flickering shadows that danced with an urgency reflecting the task at hand. With the obsidian dagger at the center of a meticulously drawn circle, Agatha stood ready, her face a mask of serene determination. As Lydia began chanting the incantations, a chilling wind swept through the cathedral, extinguishing the candles. But in the encompassing darkness, Agatha's voice rang out clear and strong, echoing her ancestors' chants, beckoning the gargoyles to her. And as the ritual reached its climax, a brilliant light enveloped the cathedral, the magnitude of Agatha's sacrifice evident in its blinding intensity. When the light finally dimmed, the gargoyles had returned to their stone forms, forever imprisoned. But Agatha was nowhere to be seen, her noble act leaving behind only the legacy of her courage. The ascent to the cathedral's rooftop was steep and treacherous, but the trio pressed on with grim determination. The wind howled, and the crescent moon above shone brilliantly, casting eerie shadows on the ancient stone tiles. As they emerged, they were met with the sight of the gargoyles, their formerly inert forms now animated, eyes gleaming with malevolence. Agatha stepped forward, the weight of centuries of guilt and duty propelling her. "You will plague this town no longer," she proclaimed with a voice that belied her frail appearance. Lydia and Mason formed a protective barrier around Agatha, the obsidian dagger glinting ominously in Mason's grip. Lydia began reciting the incantations from the journal, her voice rising above the wind, echoing off the cathedral's spires. The gargoyles, sensing the potency of the ritual and drawn to Agatha's soul, lunged forward. Mason swung at them with the dagger, its dark blade creating a barrier that the gargoyles hesitated to cross. The sky seemed to catch fire, the moon's silvery glow now intense and blazing, casting the entire town in a ghostly light. From the streets below, the citizens of Lumeridge watched, their faces upturned in a mixture of hope and dread, witnessing the unfolding battle that would decide their fate. Agatha, eyes closed, chanted in unison with Lydia, her voice filled with a power and conviction that resonated with the very stones of the cathedral. The gargoyles, entranced by the purity of her soul, were pulled towards her, their desire to consume battling with the force of the ritual. It became a war of attrition, the strength of the ritual versus the gargoyles' ravenous hunger. But as the minutes ticked by, the balance began to shift. The stone creatures, once fluid and menacing, began to slow, their forms gradually becoming rigid. With a final, resonating chant from Lydia and Agatha, a brilliant white light erupted from the center of the ritual circle, engulfing the gargoyles. The rooftop trembled, the very air seemed to vibrate with energy. And then, as suddenly as it began, the light receded. The gargoyles were motionless, reverted back to their original stony forms, silent sentinels once more. The night was still, the only sound the collective sigh of relief from the town below. Lydia and Mason, exhausted but triumphant, turned to Agatha, gratitude evident in their eyes. But the elderly woman, having given so much of herself, looked more fragile than ever, her eyes filled with a mixture of sorrow and contentment. "It's done," she whispered, the weight of centuries finally lifted from her shoulders. "Loomeridge is safe." The days that followed were marked by celebration. Loomeridge, having lived in the shadow of dread for so long, erupted in joy and relief. The town square, once a place of hushed conversations and anxious glances, now resounded with laughter and music. Children played in the streets, their innocent giggles replacing the silence of fear. Lydia and Mason, though humbled by the town's gratitude, couldn't deny the warmth that spread through them as they walked through the streets, receiving pats on the back, warm smiles, and heartfelt thanks. The cathedral, with its towering spires and looming gargoyles, transformed in the eyes of the townspeople. No longer a place of terror, it stood as a beacon of hope, its gargoyles serving as reminders of the bravery of two souls and the sacrifice of another. Months turned to a year, and as the next Halloween approached, the town's jubilation was evident. Preparations for a grand feast were in full swing, and the horrors of the past seemed just that, relics of a bygone era. It was then that a tourist family visited Loomeridge, having heard tales of the heroic confrontation atop the cathedral. They roamed its grounds, marveling at its architectural beauty. Their young daughter, enamored by the stories of the gargoyles, clutched a tiny, handcrafted wooden toy, a miniature gargoyle, carved with intricate detail. With a giggle, she placed it at the foot of one of the stone guardians as an offering, a token of admiration. That night, as Loomeridge settled into a comfortable sleep, the winds began to pick up. Trees rustled and windows rattled, but none took heed, dismissing it as just another autumnal night. Lydia, however, was restless. Memories of the past year weighed on her, and sleep eluded her. The wind seemed to carry whispers, faint yet insistent. And then, slicing through the stillness, came a scream, chilling and filled with terror. A sound Lydia knew all too well. Heart pounding, she rushed to her window, her gaze darting to the cathedral. The moonlight revealed an all too familiar sight, a missing gargoyle from its perch. The realization hit her like a cold wave. The battle, it seemed, was far from over. The cycle, spurred by innocent intent, might have been set into motion once more. And Loomeridge, just emerging from its darkest chapter, might be on the verge of another haunting tale. As the echoes of Loomeridge fade, we leave you tonight with a lingering thought. When stone stirs and shadows seek, will you be ready for what they unleash? Thank you for joining us on our scary stories. Until next time, remember, not all tales truly end. And not all nights are safe. Sleep, if you dare.